Well, good morning. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And for the last number of weeks, we have been drawing encouragement and direction from the words of Peter in this letter, 1 Peter. And I want to keep going in the book this morning. I want to keep going even for a few more weeks. You may want to read ahead and be meditating on what Peter says. Because what I want to do is I want to keep drawing not only encouragement, but also Peter's very helpful words that so fit so many aspects of what we're experiencing right now. And his words give us really helpful perspective on how to see ourselves in all of this and how to relate to the world in all of this and really how to trust God in all of this. And I want you to remember the truths that Peter has told us so far. And maybe you haven't heard what we've said from 1 Peter yet, and so maybe you're joining us for the first time and or you missed that message and that study. But I want to remind you of what Peter has told us so far. These truths, he has said that we have, this is such an encouragement here, we have God on our side. And what a God we have. And not only that, we have been given brand new life. And we have an incredible future. And all of that is true and possible for us because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead for us, which we just celebrated last Sunday on Easter. Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' resurrection makes all that possible. And so we have every reason to hope. And that's really how Peter led this letter off to his friends. We have every reason to hope. And I want you to hear that. I need to hear that. We have a God watching over us. We have the Spirit of Christ living inside of us. We have a bright future ahead of us. And now Peter's going to tell us something else. He's going to tell us we have a solid foundation under us. We have a stone of stability to stand on in all of this mess that we find ourselves in. And so, instead of moving on too quickly from these really good truths, Peter tells us to stop and to drink deeply of them. In fact, that's the first thing I want to say to you today from 1 Peter chapter 2. Number one, drink deeply of the goodness of God. And so Peter is saying, since we've been made alive with the life of God, look what he says in verse 1. Since that's true of us, so therefore put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Now, think about this for a second. Why would Peter say that right here in the middle of all these wonderful and encouraging truths about our life in God? Why would he say that? Put away malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander? Well, let's remember for a minute who Peter is writing to. He wrote this letter to Christians who've been scattered from each other, a lot like we feel right now. People who find themselves in unfamiliar places, experiencing strange customs in the places where they've had to flee to. And listen, they were in culture shock. Can you just imagine the culture shock they must have felt, having probably grown up generations in the same place, in the same land, and now you're scattered across other countries, other terrain, other cultures? It's culture shock. And the places they've gone, they have probably not felt that welcomed. And they're feeling probably beat up and bruised by the whole ordeal they are going through. And they're afraid of the people that are around them. I mean, they don't know who to trust. I mean, they're the new kids in town. They're the new people in town. And so they're probably being viewed with suspicion. Why are you here? You've been run out of places where you were at. And, well, if they don't want you, why should we want you? And so, you know, when you're in situations like that, when you're having to live in that, those kind of conditions, that can really put you on edge. I mean, you could really make you tense. And you become extra sensitive. And you start becoming self-defensive. Especially if you're getting attacked, or if you feel like you're getting attacked and pushed down or oppressed or somehow pushed aside, and you're dealing with other people's hostility toward you, you can get really sensitive to that and really self-defensive. Now, the problem is, when we get like that, self-defense can easily become playing offense. That can easily turn that way. And what happens is that out of our fear, we feel the fear, and fear comes out of us. And it comes out of us in words of hostility. So maybe people are speaking to us in words of hostility, and we just start shooting it back. We start pushing it back, playing offense. We're gonna defend ourselves, and we're basically, what we're doing is we're verbally telling people, back off. Back off. We want to create space. We want to feel safe. So back off. So we can be hostile with our words. And then maybe another way we react to that is that we, trying to survive, we start becoming insincere. You know, we're trying to work people to get something out of them. And let me just tell you, that kind of hostility, that kind of insincerity, those are precisely the things that destroy fellowship between people. It destroys the ability to be part of a community, be in relationship. You talk about relational distancing. You know, Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath." In other words, gentle words diffuse anger. But you know, hurtful words and insincere words, they'll get you rejected in a hurry. And when we're feeling anxious about feeling safe, doesn't that feel familiar right now? When we're feeling that, when we're just trying to survive the new conditions we find ourselves in, we can even start feeling jealous that other people have it better than we do. And all we really want is for things to get back to normal. We just want some peace, to feel okay again. But Peter says something here. Right here in verse 1, he's saying, put all that away. The words of hostility, the insincerity, the jealousy at other people, how they have it better than you. He says, Peter says, put all that away. Clear that out of your life. And instead, look what he says in verses 2 and 3. Instead, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So remember, here we are in the middle of this encouragement. You have God on your side. You have tasted God. So Peter says, drink deeply of His pure kindness to you. Drink deeply of His goodness to you. Like a nursing baby. A nursing baby calming down and resting safe in mama's arms, drinking in that nourishment, that assurance for your soul. Now the question is, how do you do that? How do you taste God's goodness? Well, by reading His words to you in the Bible. That's how you drink it in. Just opening up the pages of the Bible and reading His words to you, drinking in God's words to you. You do it by talking with God through prayer about your needs, about your concerns. You drink deeply of God by reflecting on, by pondering how He saved you and how He blesses you with so much good. Ponder that. When we're doing those kinds of things, we're drinking deeply of His goodness and how refreshing that is. Now, maybe you've never realized it before, but you know, when you do those things, that's actually how you grow spiritually. So Peter is saying here, instead of falling apart and falling back into those old sinful behaviors of hostility and insincerity and jealousy and all those kinds of things, instead of falling apart and start doing those things, he says, grow. Instead of falling backwards into those old sins, grow forward. Grow forward by tasting the goodness of God. And so let me ask you a question. How are you growing spiritually right now through all of this stuff we're in, through this stressful time? How are you growing because of it? I mean, how is God taking the circumstances we're in, the stress, the anxiety, the fear, all of that, the not knowing what's going to happen, the living in close quarters for a long time, feeling cooped up all the time, worried about your job, worried about money, whatever it is, how is God using that to grow you spiritually in some specific ways right now? Because see, listen, during times of stress, Peter is saying, don't stop growing in the Lord. In fact, turn times of stress into sources of progress in your growth in the Lord. And the first step to doing that, Peter is telling us, the first step to doing that is to drink deeply of the goodness of God. Remember how good He's being to you. Savor it. Enter into it. Rest in it. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. Praise Him for it. And there's a second way to keep growing. Number two, Peter says, participate fully in the work of God. Now notice what he says in verses 4 and 5. As you come to Him by reading the Word and praying and thinking, you know, worshiping Him, thinking about His goodness, as you come to Him, a living stone, He is a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So Peter's saying this. So as we're coming to God to drink deeply of His goodness, we're coming to drink from a stone, a living stone. Now think about this for a minute. None of us have ever seen a living stone before. I mean, we've only seen cold, hard, dead stones. I mean, so living stones are not really something we have a category for. But God is known for defying the norms of our experience. In fact, He Himself is unlike anything else we've ever encountered before. I mean, there's nothing you can compare God to. He's His own category. Okay? And so just as God took Jesus' dead body and made it alive again, and just like God took a dead rock and miraculously brought life-giving water pouring from it when the Israelites were thirsty in the desert, well, in the same way, Jesus is a living stone. He is a completely new category of stones. A living stone that gives true life to us. But You know, not everybody comes to Jesus to gain life. I mean, that's true of so many people today. You know them. I know them. We know about them. We know them personally. So many people who don't come to Jesus for life. And it was certainly true of the leaders who represented Israel back in Jesus' day. When Jesus was here, live in the flesh, they rejected Him. Those leaders and so many of the people, they cried, "Crucify Him," rejecting Him completely. They rejected Him carelessly. Just as carelessly as a stonemason picking over a pile of rocks and tossing aside the very rock he needs most to get his building started. But then that very same rock God picked up as the perfect stone to set in place as the cornerstone of His sanctuary, God's dwelling place. It's the most honored stone in the building, and the most honored building there is, God's dwelling place. And then God doesn't stop there. God doesn't just lay the cornerstone of His sanctuary and walk away and done. No, no. God keeps building. God keeps building His sanctuary with more rocks, more stones. He's taking you and me and every person who ever comes to Jesus to believe in Him. And He places us alongside Jesus like stones. Our lives built on His. Our lives laid alongside Him. Like stones placed in a great wall, all connected together, composing God's sanctuary. And now we, who were once dead, like rocks, have become living stones as well. We're stones deriving our life out of His by being interconnected with Him. It's like, you can imagine, all the stones in a wall, put it together with mortar, and that's God's Spirit binding us together with Christ. But if you could imagine electricity being conducted out of the cornerstone through the rest of the interconnected rocks in that wall. That's what we are with Christ. We receive His life, His divine life, flowing into us, making us alive. And now, so now we're participating in the life of God by being connected to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And we're connected by faith. And so we're participating in the life of God, and we're participating in the work that God is doing. He's making us into a spiritual temple, a Christ-indwelt sanctuary. And we participate in worship in this sanctuary as well by offering up to God our Christ-indwelt lives. And that's how we participate fully in the life of God and in the work of God and in the worship of God. We come to God. We drink deeply of God. We draw life from God. And we offer up our life to God as a living sacrifice. Listen to what he says in verse 6. "For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame.'" I love that. Whoever trusts in this stone as the foundation of your life, you will never regret it. And though, even though He's the stone others throw away, for us, He's the stone to be proud of. That's what Peter is saying in verse 7. Look at what he says. "So the honor is for you who believe. For those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. So he's saying that for those who won't trust Jesus with their whole life, he'll be the stone they trip over right into hell. He'll be the stone that will block the way into heaven. But for you who trust in Jesus, he is the most precious stone of all. He's the rock we stand on. He's the rock that makes us truly alive. And he's the rock that we stand on and from which we invite the nations to come and drink deeply from and to experience the life of God along with us. And that's the third thing that I want you to see. Number three, eagerly invite others into the goodness of God. Invite them into the experience of the goodness of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Eagerly invite them. Listen to how Peter describes our role in the world. And just think about what he's doing here. Remember how he started. Don't react to the world and treat them with hostility and insincerity and hypocrisy and jealousy and malice. Oh, no. Instead of those kinds of words interacting with the world, realize what your role in the world now is. And the language he uses in verse 9 is taken straight out of the book of Exodus. It's describing the people God saved from Egyptian slavery and formed into a community of worshipers, just like you and me. Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Listen, you and I have a lot in common with Peter's original readers of this letter. We may be rejects in this world as Christians. We may be scattered from one another right now because of this virus, struggling to make our way in these new and unfamiliar and unwelcome conditions. But friends, you are the chosen ones of God. You are the ones God chose. Chosen for the incredible privilege of being God's children and the incredible privilege of being God's priests in the world. Sent into the world to invite our neighbors and the nations to join us in drinking deeply from the life-giving goodness of God. What a privilege. What a role. What a message. What an invitation to the world. Come know how good God is. And so now that our mouths have tasted His goodness, our mouths have been filled with the message of how good God is, how excellent God is. Look at verse 9 again. You've been chosen that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him. What a great word to describe the goodness of God, the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And he says, remember, once at one time you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In other words, once you were nobodies, but now you're somebodies. I mean, so forget about how other people are treating you. You've been accepted by God. You've been accepted by God. And God has made you His instruments to tell the world how good He is, to do His work in the world, That is God's work in the world, to invite the world into His goodness, into the good news of the gospel. We're called to speak out for Him. And what an incredible opportunity we have to do that right now on social media when everybody's scrolling through every story, every post online, looking for something to entertain them or something to catch their attention. And man, do we have a message that can arrest the hearts of dead people and make them alive again. The message of the gospel. So speak out. That's what God's given us. We have been chosen that we may proclaim the excellencies. Speak out for Him. Tell other people about the night and day difference He's made in your life. And some of you have done that. You've put your testimonies on video, online, and you have been blown away by how many people have watched your testimony. Listen, instead of being the people who are panicking and stressing out about all this mess the world is in right now, instead of being those people, we need to be so aware of how blessed we are by God, how good God is being to us right now, that we actually relax. And we relax in our chosenness by God. And that we get so glad about God's goodness that we start singing in the rain. That we start singing praise in the pain and in the stress. Singing His praises. Those are the people we are called to be. Those are the people we get to be. And when you and I start doing that, start singing, praising God, and sharing the goodness of His grace to the world. When you and I start doing that, listen, we will then be embodying God's goodness to everyone around us who's stressed out and feeling hopeless. In other words, you and I will start being the world's source of hope. I mean, forget about stimulus packages. Forget about getting back to normal. We're the world's source of hope through the gospel, the good news. That's the life-changing difference that trusting in Jesus makes in our lives. He's the cornerstone. He's the stone of our stability. He's the stone of life-giving strength to us. And I want to invite you, right here, right now, to come stand with me on the stone that cannot be shaken, and to drink deeply of the goodness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that You gave us every reason to have hope. Right here today, as we find ourselves weeks into this unwelcome set of conditions that we all want to escape, and are stressing us. And I pray, Father, that You would just breathe Your peace on Your people, and that You would fill us right now with fresh reminders of how good You are, and that we would be really filled with a true sense of how safe and secure we are in You, and how good You are to us. All because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Lord, I pray You would cause people who've never trusted in that hope today to put their trust in Christ, to see that this world is so unstable. Heaven and earth will pass away. Money comes and goes. Safety and security comes and goes. Health comes and goes. But Jesus, Your words, Your truth, Your promises never pass away. And our life is forever because You've given us life. I pray many would come and trust in that great promise today, and that we as believers would sing those truths to the world, say them to the world, and invite them in. So Jesus, thank You that You are our cornerstone. We derive our life from You, our joy from You, our peace from You. And today and this week, I pray that You would enable us by reading Your Word and talking to You in prayer and pondering Your goodness, that You would enable us to drink deeply of Your goodness and relax in your care. I pray this in Jesus' powerful, strong, sweet name. Amen.